2 Corinthians 4:2, look at this verse. Paul says, we reject all shameful and underhanded methods. In other words, we don't have any tricks. We don't play games. We do not try to trick anyone, and we do not distort the word of God. We tell the truth before God, and all who are honest know that. He said, I'm not going to play your games. Jesus said it like this, let your yes be yes, and your no be no.
Today on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, we continue in a series called You Make Me Crazy. These teachings take a biblical look at topics like peace in our relationships, finding true love, breaking free from abuse, resolving conflict, ending the cycle of people-pleasing, and dealing with the crazy makers in our lives. Now, in just a few moments, we're going to let you know how you can get a copy of this life-changing audio series in its entirety. You can take a sneak peek by going to PastorRick.com while you listen. If you want, you can just text the word DAILY to 99000 to find out more. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part two of a message called Keeping the Crazy Makers from Making You Crazy.
Look at this first verse, Proverbs 12, 16. Let's read it aloud together. When a fool is annoyed, he quickly lets it be known. But wise people will ignore an insult. Circle the word wise. If you're wise, you ignore an insult. If you respond to an insult with an insult, you're a fool. Foolish people give out what they get. He says, that's not good. That's not wise. That's dumb. When a fool is annoyed, he quickly lets it be known. In other words, somebody hurts me, I hurt them right back. They make a tacky statement to me, and I make a tacky statement back. When a fool is annoyed, he quickly lets it be known. But wise people ignore an insult. Why do wise people ignore an insult? Because what they do is they look behind the behavior. Now, we've talked about this three different times in this series. That when you're dealing with people who are offensive, when you're dealing with people who are irritating, people who are crazy makers in your life, you need to look past the behavior to the pain, because everything we do is motivated by something. And when people are hurting others, it's because they're hurting on the inside. Hurt people hurt people. And that they've got a fear, they've got an insecurity, they've got a painful past. They've got a pressure in the current that maybe you don't know about. And one of the ways you can learn to not be offended by other people is to not look at their behavior. And to just look past and go, I wonder what causes them to be that way, to be that short with me. Did they get out of bed on the wrong side? They have a fight with their husband or their wife today? Are they going bankrupt? What's the pressure? What's the thorn in their foot that's causing them to be mean to everybody else around them? And you look past the behavior and look at the pain and try to understand. Now, the more you understand somebody's background, the more grace you're going to show them. The people who you find it most difficult to deal with, the people who irritate you the most, are people at the office who are obnoxious and you know nothing about their background. So you don't cut them any slack. You don't know that maybe they were molested. You don't know that maybe they were orphaned, or you don't know that maybe they've gone through three marriages and the husband walked out on them, you know, three times. You don't know their story. And so you're not cutting them any slack. You're not showing them any grace. Here's what the Bible says. Proverbs 19:11. A man's wisdom gives him patience. It is to his glory to overlook an offense. You're going to get offended. Why? Because your wisdom gives you patience. When you understand somebody's background, you understand their current stress, it's easier to show grace. That gives you patience. And then you overlook the offense. What I'm talking about here is real love. In fact, the Bible says refusing to be offended by other people is actually an act of mature love. It shows you how much love you've got in your heart. The more love you have in your heart, the harder it is to offend you on a personal basis. The less love, the more insecure you feel, the easier it is to offend you. Now, the Bible says in Proverbs 10:12, love overlooks the wrongs that others do. Love overlooks the wrongs that others do. The more filled I am with love, the less I'm going to be upset with you when you are demanding or demeaning or disapproving or whatever. So this is the first step. I must choose to refuse. I choose to refuse to be offended, and I don't take it personal. I don't take it personal. Pastor Tom's going to come and talk about the next two steps.
Number two, you don't wait for an apology before you forgive them. You don't wait for an apology to forgive them. I think many of us, we've got some crazy maker in our life who has done some crazy hurtful thing to us, or maybe even more importantly, to somebody that we love. And in our minds, we think, well, I know the Christian thing to do is to forgive, and so I will. I will forgive them as soon as they give me an apology, the right kind of apology, then I will forgive them. Not everyone who is a crazy maker in your life, who bugs you, who even hurts you, realizes what they're doing. Oftentimes, they're responding to their own hidden pain, and they don't know that they're hurting all these people around them. So what do? Well, when I have a hard time forgiving a crazy maker, and I think we all struggle with this sometimes, we all struggle with forgiving. When I have a hard time, I remember what a hard time I gave God in forgiving me and not accepting his forgiveness. And I remember the great gift of his forgiveness. I remember a verse like the next one in your outline. Colossians 3:13 says, you must make allowance for each other's faults and forgive the person who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Number three is refuse to gossip about them. This one's tough with crazy makers. You refuse to gossip about them. Gossip is incredibly destructive to churches. It's incredibly destructive to families. It's incredibly destructive to businesses. It's destructive to your life. It tears you up. It separates the closest of friends. And the worst thing about gossip is when you start gossiping about this crazy maker, it means they win. All of a sudden, they're controlling your conversation. They're controlling your emotions. Your whole day is about gossiping about them instead of talking about some good thing, some great thing that you could be doing or is happening in your life. Don't let them win. Don't let the crazy maker win by choosing gossip. 1 Peter 3:9 says, do not do wrong to repay a wrong, and do not insult to repay an insult, but repay with a blessing, because you yourselves were called to do this so that you might receive a blessing. That's the point. You can gossip and miss out on God's blessing, but instead, if you choose not to, look what happens. By choosing not to gossip, not only do you get the conversation in the right positive way in your life, but you receive God's blessing in your life. I want you to receive God's blessing in your life. And one of the ways we do that is by saying no to gossip.
That verse that says, don't insult somebody who insults you back makes me think about a number of years ago. A member of our church gave me a book. He knows that I collect books for my library, and it was called 3,000 Witty Put-Downs. And I read it from cover to cover and laughed uproariously. It was one of those laugh-your-head-off books. The only problem is, as a pastor, I can't use it. All these great, really repartee, you know, rejoinders, and I can't use it because the Bible says, don't repay an insult with an insult. Now, these are the steps to dealing with the crazy makers in your life. I refuse to be offended. I'm not going to take it personal. I'm going to consider the source. It's crazy maker. And you may have all kinds of problems that I don't even know about. And I'm not going to wait for an apology. I'm going to offer forgiveness even before you ask for it, even if you never ask for it, because you might not. And then, this is even harder, as Tom said, I'm not going to gossip. I'm not going to go talk about you to somebody else. Step number four is I refuse to play their game. After I've done these other things, I refuse to play their game. You see, crazy makers love to argue, and they love to debate because they love to get your attention. Now, if you fall for this trap, you're going to start thinking, if I could just clearly, logically explain to them what they're doing, then the light would come on in their mind and they would realize how self-destructive and how inappropriate their behavior or what they're saying is. And if I could just reason with them, then they will say, well, yes, thank you for helping me see that. Thank you so very, very much. But here's the point. Crazy makers don't come to their position through reason, so you can't reason them out of it. It doesn't work. You can't talk people out of a behavior they didn't talk themselves into. They got into that behavior because of an emotion, not because of logic. It's reasoned, motivated reasoning. Motivated reasoning means I come up with a reason for doing something because I feel this way, and so I need a reason to do it. The motivation actually comes from the feeling, not from the reasoning. And what I've discovered is that people are going to either like you or not like you. And if they don't like you, you can't make them like you.
The rest of today's message is coming your way in just a few moments. But first, if you'd like to connect with Rick on Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn, just go to PastorRick.com and click on his social media links. And while you're at it, go ahead and sign up for his free Daily Hope email devotional. Take a look at all the helpful resources. Again, that's PastorRick.com or just text the word DAILY to 99000. Again, that's the word DAILY to 99000.
Thanks for being with us here on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. If you're enjoying this series and today's message, but can't really dive into it because you've got a long day in the office ahead of you, kids to pick up, or meals to cook, then let us send you a copy of this entire series, which includes 6 full-length teachings from Pastor Rick. That way, you can listen from start to finish or just a little at a time, whenever it's best for you. You can even go back and listen over and over to your favorite messages. Today, when you support Pastor Rick's Daily Hope with a financial gift, we'll give you the choice of either a 6 audio CD box set or 6 downloadable high-quality MP3s. Call today, 800-600-5004, or visit PastorRick.com to get your copy of this series. That's 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. Thanks so much for your support. Now let's get back to more great teaching with Pastor Rick Warren.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, winner of the NRB Billy Graham Award for Excellence in Christian Communications. Once again, here's Pastor Rick Warren.
People are going to either like you or not like you. And if they don't like you, you can't make them like you. And if they want to think a certain way, they're going to think that way. And all of the logic in the world isn't going to change their mind. In fact, if somebody has a motivated reasoning for something, then what's going to happen is when you show them how they're wrong, they just get mad at you. Show them the facts. Say, oh, you got the facts wrong. You get them the facts. You think that's going to change them? Of course it's not going to change them. It was the facts that caused them to make that decision anyway. They were making the decision based on emotion. But you refuse to play their game. Now, there are lots of examples of this in the Bible that shows us how not to do this. But the master of it was Jesus Christ himself. Jesus did not play games with people. There were crazy makers in Jesus' life. They were called the Pharisees. They were the religious authorities of those days, and they hated Jesus. And they had motivated reasoning, so they're always trying to trap him. They're always trying to get him to say the wrong thing. They're always trying to get him to make a mistake. They're always questioning, always probing, always playing games with Jesus, mind games. Jesus simply wouldn't play their games. Let me give you an example. Here on your outline, Matthew chapter 22, verse 18 and 19. The Pharisees plotted a way to trap Jesus into saying something damaging. Sounds like some reporters I know. Jesus knew they were up to no good, and he said, "Why are you playing these games with me? Why are you trying to trap me?" See, Jesus wouldn't even fall for it. He would not be pulled into their crazy-making games. He wouldn't be drawn into an argument that he knew was going to go nowhere. Another example of this is Jesus before Pilate. Jesus is before Pilate. Pilate starts asking him all these kind of tricky questions like, "So you say you're the king of the Jews. What is truth? Who are you really?" And the Bible says Jesus said not a word to Pilate. He wouldn't even answer him. Wouldn't even answer him on some of the questions. Why? He said, I'm not going to play your games. You're just trying to drag me into an argument. You see, as I said, people believe what they want to believe about you. And if they want to believe bad things, they're going to look for bad things about you. If they want to believe good things, they're going to look for good things about you. Prejudice has its own reasoning. And you can't reason with prejudice. You can't talk people out of prejudice from a logical sense because it's an emotionally based decision. So save your breath. Don't play games. Don't waste your time. Now, you can't talk people out of positions they didn't arrive at on a logical basis. Let me give you another example. Paul. Paul is just like Jesus. Paul would never get drawn into word games or playing with the crazy makers, playing their little manipulative games. 2 Corinthians 4:2, look at this verse. Paul says, we reject all shameful and underhanded methods. In other words, we don't have any tricks. We don't play games. We do not try to trick anyone, and we do not distort the word of God. We tell the truth before God, and all who are honest know that. He said, I'm not going to play your games. You may try to be crazy, but I'm not going to play your games. Jesus said it like this, let your yes be yes, and your no be no. Now, the reason this is important is because crazy makers use conflict to get your attention. Everybody has a deep need to be loved. We all have a deep need for approval. If you cannot get approval, then you'll get attention, either good or bad. You can see this in teenagers all the time. If they cannot get the approval of their parents, then they're going to get attention some way through all kinds of bizarre behavior or bizarre dress or bizarre lifestyle or whatever. They're going to get attention, either negative or positive, because I'm going to get your attention one way or the other so you know that I'm valuable. And when people try to get your attention through conflict, they're just trying to hook you. Now, this used to not be such a big deal. But now, with the internet, it's very easy to get hooked. Because you're reading along on there, and somebody makes some kind of off-the-wall statement on the internet, and you go, I'm going to tell them. And in the background, that person's thinking, got them. I just took the big one. And every bone in your body wants to fire off a quick reply to that blog or to that email or to that statement. And I'm telling you, don't. Don't play the game. You're just getting hooked. A couple quotes. I read this one from Neal Stephenson today. He said, arguing with anonymous strangers on the internet is a sucker's game because they almost always turn out to be self-righteous 16-year-olds possessing infinite amounts of free time. And they got a whole lot more free time than you do, and they'd be happy to go on and on and on and on in this argument as long as you want them to. Now, 250 years before the internet, Thomas Paine, remember him from the American Revolution, said this, to argue with a person who has renounced the use of reason is like administering medicine to the dead. In other words, it's a waste of breath. Now, he said, just don't play their game. Don't get sucked into the argument. Don't get sucked into the debate. Don't get sucked in. Just walk on by. Proverbs 26, verse 21 says this. Just as charcoal and wood keep a fire going, a quarrelsome person keeps an argument going. You got it? He says, you know, this person likes to keep the argument going. They want to engage you in an argument. They find their meaning. They find their purpose. They find their value. They find their attention in actually getting you upset. Don't play that game. Don't get drawn into it. Don't be hooked into it. Now, how many people does it take to argue? It takes two, right? Okay. Now, if one of the people walk away, what happens to the argument? The fire goes out. The Bible says here, just as charcoal and wood keep a fire going, a quarrelsome person keeps an argument going. But if you don't join in, the fire goes out. Don't engage a quarrelsome person. Now, those of you who are business owners, you got a small business, you got one or two or three employees, or maybe you're a manager over 15 or 20 in a larger organization. Most people have no understanding how badly disharmony among a staff destroys productivity. Disharmony among the staff will destroy productivity faster than anything else. And so if you are an employer, you need to fire quarrelsome people quickly. It's like, get the bad apple out of the bunch quickly. Fire quarrelsome people quickly. Why? You know why? Because quarrelsome people are contagious. Troublemakers infect others. And all of a sudden, one complaining becomes two complaining, and then three complaining, and then five complaining, and then everybody's complaining. You need to fire the person quickly. The Bible says to do this over and over in many ways. You see, the rest of your team, if you're an employer, the rest of your team deserves a peaceful work environment. To not be stressed out, having one troublemaker constantly stirring everything up, causing contention, causing conflict, causing gossip, you need to owe it to them as the leader to remove that person out of the business. Now, let me give you two verses. These aren't on your outline, so write them down. Proverbs 22, verse 10. Proverbs 22, verse 10 says this in the Living Bible. Throw out the mocker, and you'll be rid of tension, fighting, and quarrels. You want to get the tension, the fighting, and the quarrels out of your business? Throw out the mocker, the person who's the troublemaker, the quarrelsome, the crazy maker who likes to argue. Let me give you another one, Titus 3:10. This one's actually advice to pastors. And it says that if there's a troublemaker in a church, you give them two warnings, then the pastor is to put them out of the church. We graciously invite you to go visit some other church. You just dismiss them. Say, look, you had two warnings, but you're causing chaos. You're causing conflict. And the Bible says, pastor, you're supposed to take them out. You refuse to play their game.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. If you've missed any part of this broadcast, including portions we didn't have time for today, you can go to PastorRick.com and listen online anytime. Rick will be back in just a moment with a final word of encouragement. Okay, confession time. You probably have a relationship that could drive you crazy if you let it. Whether it's a boyfriend, girlfriend, spouse, sibling, parent, coworker, or that crazy relative you see once a year at Thanksgiving. A crazy maker can really make life difficult. That's why Pastor Rick Warren asked us to put together the Crazy Makers Complete Audio Series. The collection includes six complete commercial-free messages that are sure to be a blessing to you and your loved ones. If you'd like to have this entire series on CD or downloadable MP3s for your personal library, just contact us today. We'll send it to you right away as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of this ministry. Call 800-600-5004. That's 800-600-5004. Or you can give online at PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com. Today's the last day to get yours, so don't wait. And now here's Rick with a closing thought.
You ever find yourself asking the question, why is this happening to me? Why does this have to be so difficult? You know, the thing is, God never intended for life on earth to be perfect. This is not heaven, this is earth. And God put us here to teach us a lot of things, even in the middle of our pain and problems and difficulties. And one of the things He wants to teach us the most is how to love Him and how to love other people. That prepares you for heaven. You see, God loves you and God is for you. So when things get difficult, keep your focus on the love of God. Just say to yourself, God loves me. And say it over and over until you start to let it sink in. Thanks, everybody, for listening today. And join me again next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.